This year, you're going to hear a lot about what 5G will do.
5G, the next generation of cellular technology for the next generation of smartphones.
How it could help firefighters see through smoke, connect ambulances with hospitals in real time, give rescuers new tools to locate survivors. But this isn't a commercial about...
What this high-priced Super Bowl commercial didn't include was the potential health risks of 5G.
They were doing 5G testing in The Hague in the Netherlands. There were like 200 some odd birds that just fell dead from the sky.
Welcome to The Genius of Wellness, a podcast brought to you by Hopkins Medical Group, serving patients in Greater Boston with a personalized approach to healthcare. Learn more at thegeniusofwellness.org. I'm Ted Canova. The question is whether this new 5G generates radio frequency radiation that could lead to cancer, premature aging, and potentially other diseases. The industry says it's safe, even though studies can often be inconclusive. But lawmakers such as U.S. Senator Richard Blumenthal says we're flying blind on the potential risks of 5G. So how do we cut through the confusion? Well, when we taped our last episode with technology safety educator Cece Doucette on how to safely use wireless tech, Dr. Pat Hopkins and I realized that we talked enough about 5G that it deserved its own episode. We see it in the advertisements on TV, 5G, 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 and it gets confusing. What's the problem with 5G versus the current 3G and 4G?
Okay, well, third and fourth generation technology, the 3G and the 4G that we're using today, use a much longer wavelength to carry that data back and forth. That technology has pretty much maxed out, and there's nothing really new that the industry can do with that. So in order to keep the train moving, they now want to use a different part of the radiation spectrum, which is the millimeter waves, and that's what they're spinning up for 5G or fifth generation technology. But in order for 5G to fly, you would have to have a cell tower inside your neighborhood every 2 to 12 houses to carry that large volume of data for streaming and autonomous cars and smart cities. So it all sounds really wonderful, but they're densifying this radiation, and it doesn't mean that 3G and 4G go away. All that electrosmog remains, and now we're adding to it, but bringing it much closer in proximity to where we stand on the sidewalk, to where we walk down the street, to where we sleep inside our homes and try to raise healthy families.
But Cece, I've read that 5G is being tested in cities across the country. I doubt residents realize that they don't have a say in it being tested in their towns.
Exactly. Nobody knows and nobody's given informed consent on this. So for example, you can go online and look up a public meeting that was held in Sacramento, California, after the 5G signals were turned on. And there's a mother testifying before the mayor to say, my two little girls got sick, and we figured it would just run its course like a cold or a flu would, but this went on over a month, and these little girls were getting sicker and not better. And so their doctors didn't know what's going on, and so they're thinking, well, what changed? And then they realized this small cell or distributed antenna system went into Sacramento, and there was a small cell antenna right outside the girls' bedroom window.
How do they put it there and nobody knows? That's, what does it look like?
It looks like a pole. Sometimes they'll mount them on streetlights. Sometimes they'll mount them on the phone wires to get around having to get permits from the pole and conduit committees. And our towns don't know that this radio frequency radiation is biologically harmful, but there are some excellent resources to quickly bring our towns up to speed.
So are you saying that the town leaders don't even know this? It's not like a negotiation with the mayor or the selectmen?
No, because all our towns have heard is that you will get a free revenue stream by giving us access in the public access way to these utility poles, or allow us to put up our own poles and mount this equipment on it.
So I would think that this is truly a class action suit. against the organizations that are pushing this for consumer products and data mining.
But those lawsuits are a drop in the bucket for these companies. They've already factored that in. They've already set aside billions for the lawsuits that are coming, and they've already begun. The Chicago Tribune recently did an investigative report, and they went and actually measured how much radiation was coming out of those cell phones. And it was beyond even what the FCC allows, and those FCC guidelines were never even safety tested. So the radiation coming off of the Apples and the Samsungs on certain models were even higher than what our false FCC guidelines allow. So now there are class action suits happening against Samsung and Apple. There are lawsuits that have already been won around the world for this radio frequency radiation, because they have been able to prove in the scientific literature that it is biologically active and it's causing cancers, DNA damage, and more.
So I got into the EMF almost by accident, probably close to 15 to 20 years ago, when I was out to dinner with a cousin who is a PhD psychotherapist. And I said, oh, you know, what are the boys up to? And she said, well, one of my sons has moved to the West Coast. I said, what for? She said, well, he's searching an EMF-free environment. He became incredibly sensitive. And he's a brilliant, brilliant student. And she said he couldn't survive here on the East Coast because there was so much exposure to electromagnetic fields. And I went, well, that's weird. I don't know why, if it's that big a deal, why didn't anyone tell us? We're doctors. And she said, and my girlfriend, who's a Harvard professor, it turned out that the data bank was below her office, and she got so critically ill that she had to actually give up her job as a professor because she couldn't work in the building and they wouldn't take action. So that was the point I began to educate myself on what were the scientists in the world saying about electromagnetic fields as we run towards convenience. And the one thing that has struck me was one of the scientists that I routinely follow was his description of not only the impact on the Homo sapiens, but it is the forests. The forests are not in any way protected from the impact of Wi-Fi. And one of the physicists was talking about terpenes. And I've said to people, do you know what a terpene is?
Sounds a lot like turpentine, doesn't it?
It sounds like turpentine. Right, exactly. Well, terpenes is one of the phytochemical products of conifers, which are all up in the mountains and hills. And the terpene modification as a result of Wi-Fi is allowing self-igniting. It only needs heat. So the California fires, they are hypothesizing that the rapid expansion, it's not the fire extending, it's the forest igniting itself.
Yeah, and what I understand happens is when a plant is under stress like that, it sends signals out to all the other plants around it. So now what they're doing is they're trying to protect themselves with these terpenes. So they're basically glossing their exteriors with this chemical, the terpene, in order to protect themselves. But once that ignites, everything is primed to go. And in addition to the terpenes, we also have to look at our other little friends, the insects. We know biologically that bees have a navigation system that is meant to be in sync with the electromagnetic field of the earth. And because we've now put this whole layer of electrosmog in there, our pollinators are having a very difficult time getting to where they need to be, which is back to the hive. And we have dysregulated their own navigation system. It's the same thing with the birds. When they were doing 5G testing in The Hague in the Netherlands, there were like 200 some odd birds that just fell dead from the sky. So it's not just the Homo sapiens, as you mentioned. It's every biological thing is biologically active and sensitive to this influx of electromagnetic fields.
So when we see the great white shark has disappeared from South Africa, when we see the migration of lethal viruses, they're going to start creating a new organism here. When we see this I'm just thinking about this out loud, like, okay, we have global warming. Where's global warming relative to this?
That's an excellent question. And another kind of hidden secret with the wireless industry is that wireless consumes 10 times more energy than hardwiring to the premises and then picking up with an Ethernet cable inside would do. So yeah, as far as we look at climate change, we have got to get on this and get the fiber optics. For 5G, they're going to run the fiber optics down the road, and then they're going to throw up all these wireless antennas
every 20
small
feet.
Cells. Yeah. So what they promised us and billed us for on our bills years ago was to bring hardwired connections to the premises. So when we say we want fiber optics, we also have to clarify to the premises and not just running it down the road. Otherwise, they're going to start popping up all these small cell nodes.
Cece Doucette, technology safety educator and founder of wirelesseducation.org, thanks for sharing your thoughts.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for listening to The Genius of Wellness. If you like our podcast, do us a favor. Share it with your friends and family and write a review on this podcast channel. It'll help more people find us. The Genius of Wellness is brought to you by Hopkins Medical Group, serving patients in Greater Boston with a personalized approach to healthcare. Learn more at thegeniusofwellness.org. I'm Ted Canova. See you next time.